Breakfast Briefing
with Gallagher, providing business insurance, financial planning solutions and personal insurance nationwide.
Well, we mentioned raid inflation there and Education Minister Norma Foley on News Talk Breakfast. It's the main story across a number of papers, including the Irish Times. Majority of Leaving Cert grades artificially inflated. This is the news that most of this year's 61,000 Leaving Cert students' grades have been artificially inflated by exam authorities to bring them into line with record highs of recent years. I think this is the last year they'll be doing this. But there was a direction by the Education Minister that this year's overall Leaving Cert results should be kept in line with recent years. So we've 61,000 students waiting for their results. In more than two-thirds of those cases, 68% students' grades have gone up. The exam papers were marked in the normal way. The increase in marks was an average 7.5%. A number of senior higher education figures are expressing concern that high grades are making it difficult to differentiate between top candidates, because now we've so many students achieving top marks. That used to be very rare and now a lot more common with this artificial grade inflation. Anyway, Education Minister Norma Foley will be asked about that on News Talk Breakfast. The other story in the front of the Irish Times is just two counties have enough GPs to provide what the WHO says is a satisfactory level of care. The WHO recommends that you have 100 GPs per 100,000 population. However, new figures suggest large parts of the country already experiencing shortages are now suffering declining levels of coverage. Meath has the lowest level of all, with 118 GPs. That works out at 54 per 100,000. Galway and Waterford, the only two counties in Ireland that have a satisfactory level of care when it comes to GPs. The Irish Daily Mail, more on this land tax. The RZLT, which a lot of people hadn't heard about before this week, and now it seems to be a big issue. The Mail says that the race is on to solve the crisis in the coalition over the controversial shelving of the land hoarding tax. They reckon that it could jeopardise the giveaway budget. Apparently, Minister Roderick O'Gorman is furious after being blindsided over plans to delay the tax beyond the lifetime of this government. So there's a row between the Greens, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael over the land hoarding tax, the RZLT as it's called. So they'll row about this in the media for the next few weeks, you would imagine. The Irish Daily Star, Knock Enoch, who's there? Oh, it's just me again. That's the headline. Sacked teacher Enoch Burke returned to his former school in Westmeath to resume his protest less than 2 months after he was freed from Mountjoy for the duration of the school's summer holidays. Amazing how all the media were there as well. Clearly got a tip off that Enoch Burke was going to be outside his school in Westmeath. The Irish Sun on the front page, it's showtime. Gráinne Seoighe has bagged enough nominations from Fianna Fáil members to be a party candidate for the next general election. So she's now cleared the first hurdle after the nomination process for Galway West closed last night. So you need at least five people to nominate you. Gráinne has got that. So that's the first hurdle cleared. She's looking to represent Fianna Fáil in Galway in the next election. So she's now a party candidate. Inside the papers, the Indo is a very interesting report on hand washing in our hospitals. Of course, we're all experts on hand washing now after the pandemic. But the hospitals with the best and the worst scores for staff washing their hands have been revealed. And we know from the pandemic just how important properly washing your hands is. Recent inspections show some hospitals are still failing to meet the hand washing staff target of 90%. This is when they're watched washing their hands. The lowest score was recorded at St Luke's Hospital in Rathgar in Dublin, followed by the Mater Hospital. Portiuncla Hospital in Galway and Talla Hospital both scored 87%. The goal is 90% when it comes to hand washing. Lots of hospitals there. The best hospital, good news for me, as my local one, is Naas General Hospital. Naas General Hospital staff, well done to them. They've a compliance rate of 98.9%, so they know how to wash their hands in Naas Hospital. There are some some poorer hand washing measures in place in other hospitals around the country. Sad news yesterday, in case you didn't hear, it's in a lot of the papers, including The Mirror. The cafe visited by Joe Biden during his trip to Ireland last year has ceased trading. This is McAteer's, the food house and catering in Dundalk, which is a lovely business. I've been in it. It's really, really nice. But they're blaming rising costs for closing. They say it's a difficult time for the business, harder by the day to keep the ship afloat. Brexit didn't help and COVID changed so much. So this shop, which got a lot of publicity when a US president obviously visited it, was live on television. They say that high food costs, rising energy bills, packaging and basic supplies, together with the government having a VAT rate of 13.5%, has made it impossible for them to continue trading. So they can't keep their doors open. They've decided to close before the waters get too rough. So that's very, very sad news indeed. And as I say, they did get a lot of publicity last year, but publicity doesn't necessarily guarantee you customers are keeping your doors open. The I newspaper has an interesting survey about small talk, and more than half of people would like to meet new people, but a third have no idea how to strike up a conversation with a stranger, which is quite sad. So people want to talk, they just don't know what to say. Research from a brewery called Beavertown showed that the majority of people think there's a stigma around talking to strangers, and almost two-thirds believe that people should be more open to talking to those they don't know. The main icebreakers, in case you're bad at small talk, and I know a lot of people are really bad at small talk. I've seen it recently at an event I was at, where I kind of felt if I wasn't there, no one was going to speak, because it was just sort of really awkward silences. But if you're trying to get over your nervousness around talking to a stranger, number one topic you should speak about is the weather, followed by pets, sport, the news. Now, that can land you in trouble as well. Be careful what you say about the news. Also, you can talk about travel, food, music, work, politics, again, a dangerous one to speak about, or celebrity gossip. So just go with the weather. It's probably the best way to speak up and find new friends. And finally, from the Mail, having a landline at home is now considered old-fashioned. The landline tops a list of items which people view as signs that a house is outdated. Other things that age your house are net curtains, DVD players, and avocado-coloured bathrooms. Also, wood chip wallpaper, if you have a DVD player, if you have carpet in your bathroom, if you have pebble dash, if you have a separate dining room, if you have word art. I can't stand word art. This is your live, laugh, love, or keep calm and relax. Anyway, that dates your house as well, as does floral patterns, cream or white painted walls, and decking in the garden. They're all signs that your house is old-fashioned. If you're trying to make your house look more modern, you should have open-plan living spaces, solar panels, triple-glazed windows, ensuite bathrooms, high levels of insulation, smart lighting, air conditioning, an island in your kitchen, a vegetable patch in your garden, an EV charging point, and a garden fire pit. They are the modern must-haves for your garden, but unfortunately the landline is the number one thing that makes your house look old.
Breakfast Briefing
with Gallagher, providing business insurance, financial planning solutions and personal insurance nationwide.